Good morning, everyone, and for the few people who may be watching us, I'd like to tell you, 9 verses have a lot of information in them. And as you see on the screen here, there are 5 verses in the book of Ephesians that, and I read very few commentators mention that fact for some reason. It's not very important to other people, but it sure stuck out to me. And if you look at these 5 verses, the first instance, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. The second one, that Christ is ascended and seated at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. And then he has raised up in the heavenlies. And then last week, that the church, and I didn't know if I made enough a big a deal of this, but the church is a place of demonstrating the manifold wisdom of God to the powers, the rulers, and principalities in the heavenlies. And that's a pretty important topic, and I don't know that I made enough of it, but the last one is in chapter 6, and instead of jumping right to that, I didn't feel, as I was reading through Ephesians, I thought there was something that needed to be looked at first. There is 9 verses in the end of chapter 3, and I'd just like to read those, and then we'll pray. If you would go, you can put this up. It's Ephesians 3:14. Well, we're going to start in 3:13. To get all 9 verses, Ephesians 3:13, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for then I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Does that strike home yet? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you as we come to your word that it is always like a giant buffet filled with the best food that we could possibly eat. The food which strengthens our souls and our builds and edifies, as we heard, our spirits, so that we are built up in you. Thank you for the food that does not perish. Thank you for this food of your word, the living word. And we thank you as we approach it that we need your help and understanding. And I would ask for clarity in the Holy Spirit this morning for those who hear and for me who speaks. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our subject in all of this is, if you look, it's the in the heavenlies. The subject is really the difference between the temporal life that we live, if I can invent a word, on the earthlies and our spiritual life in the heavenlies. And now these nine verses I just read, we come to it, it's the second. And we kind of, after reading about the manifold wisdom of God and how the church is a demonstration to the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, we jump on to the next one. But as I was reading through this, I couldn't go past this. I usually skipped over this, or I didn't really skip, I just sort of read quick, speed read your way through something, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't go any further because there's something we need in these nine verses. He says in 13, therefore I ask you not to lose heart, don't be discouraged at his tribulations, for they are your glory. This passage, nine verses, I can't believe how much there is to this, and I don't want to load you down. In fact, I wish I had more time to take and study. Because every single verse in these nine verses, every single verse, I could dedicate a whole one time on just one verse. Because there is so much to this in this letter. It begins with glory. These nine verses begin with glory and they end with glory. And there's glory in the middle. I ask you not to lose heart, to be discouraged, becoming faint of heart. Jesus told a parable in Luke 18:1. Now he was telling them in a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. And this is what Paul is doing. Be discouraged. When they see him, it troubled me. I'll give you an idea. I couldn't understand what his tribulations was their glory. His tribulations, he's the apostle who wrote this letter and other letters. His reputation was well known among all the churches. How is his suffering bringing them glory? Well, because they are important enough for him to suffer. His suffering, his tribulations, the struggles, he's in prison, he's in chains for them. And can I say, for us, it's for your glory. And so he says, don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged by this. It's for your glory. What is glory? Have you ever seen or experienced glory? In the Old Testament, glory is seen. It's felt and it's seen. In 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. That's the Old Testament glory. It filled the house, and it could be seen. Do we have that? It doesn't come like that in the same way. Glory is glory, don't get me wrong. It's glory is glory, but it's different in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the church, in Ephesians, later in Ephesians 5, that he might present to himself a glorious church. not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the church. That's the church in the heavenlies, or these, the heavenly church, the church from the heavenlies on the earthlies. Glory. I read T. Austin Sparks. I guess I could blame him on it. He said that's an interesting, he theorized. This is his idea. It's not written anywhere in Scripture, but if you think about it, it makes sense about Adam and Eve. Before they fell, they had glory. They were clothed in glory. And as soon as they sinned, that wrapping of glory went away. And they knew they were naked and they had to clothe themselves. And it says the Lord, walking in the garden, came upon them and said, what's going on? What's wrong with you? And they admitted to their sin. And from that point on, they had to be clothed with something. Leaves didn't work. So the Lord fashioned for them hides. Something had to die. And they were clothed from that point on with the artifacts, what's left over of sacrifice. Now, I thought that was interesting. Maybe not. I don't know. But glory clothed them for a while. He said, if I'm going to give you, I'll try to get through this. This is T. Austin Sparks, sort of a description of glory. Glory is the expression of the satisfaction of God's nature. God's very nature being what it is, holy and righteous and true, and everything that the very nature of God is, if it is satisfied and answered to, God finds that which corresponds to his very being, to his disposition, to his nature, to his way of thinking, his way of acting, and all that of that which is just God in essence. When God finds that which answers to himself, then there is a state of glory. There's a state of glory. When things are as God wills them they should be, then it is glory. And the church is glorious. And one day, we will all be clothed in glory. And right now, the Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 is glorified. But that's glory. Part of these nine verses. It says, for this reason, don't lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. And then he says, for this reason, because of that, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. It's interesting. Spurgeon helped me with this one by looking at these eight verses that are left here. He compared them. He pictured them as a ladder. You know about a ladder. In the New Testament, we have angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In the Old Testament, Jacob saw a vision of a ladder from earth to heaven. There is a ladder. There are ladders. But he pictured these verses like a ladder. And you begin climbing this ladder on your knees. Have you tried that? No, we don't do that very much. And no, we don't do that in construction. We don't climb ladders in the knees. But this ladder, a spiritual ladder, you climb on your knees. And it begins this way. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That is the first rung of the ladder. To be on this ladder, you climb it to the second rung. In verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. And that word in the inner man, in, is in the original language, is into. It is a verb of direction, of movement. Power going into the inner man. We all have, we have an inner person. We are body, soul, somebody already mentioned, body, soul, and spirit. And we are, that, that is what is being talked about here, into the inner man, the eyes there. That word in is into, therefore it has a full force of into. It is not reduced to either in or in regard of. It is into. This is where we are changed. This is where we are to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Through his Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, you're familiar with, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that it is mentioned the gifts of the Spirit. There is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, gifts of healing, speaking in tongues. There are a number of gifts of the Spirit. And years ago, we used to hear about that all the time. It's very interesting. In all the surfing and looking around, I never see hardly anybody. It's not that I don't travel in the right circles. I don't hear anywhere anybody really ever going into the gifts of the Spirit. There was a time in the 70s, 80s, when it was everywhere and people were talking about them and, oh, they were proclaiming in them and crying out for them. Not so much anymore, and I don't know where that is. It's interesting. Interesting how these waves come and go. And maybe in 10 years from now, everybody will be talking about it. But this is a work of the Holy Spirit, that he is praying for who? Anyone who reads this letter. There is a particular work of the Spirit here. This is not so much like one of the gifts it mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. Those were momentary, useful gifts. And we have to say that. They are very useful, but they're momentary. This is a different work completely. This is a work where you are strengthened in the inner man with power in the Holy Spirit. Without power, there is no faith, no love, no hope. Without power, we can't live the rest of the letter. There's chapters 4 and 5. I've already read from 4. My intent in looking at Ephesians sort of jump over those, because 4 and 5 and 6, there's one passage, yes, in 6 we have to do, but 4, 5, and 6 give us the heavenly view of the church on the earthly, and on the earthlies, the view of fathers, wives, husbands, wives, fathers, children, and slaves, even. We can mention that word, slaves. That's not a very popular word today, but there were slaves in the New Testament times. And Paul wrote this letter, particularly 4, 5, and 6, as a very practical outline of how we live a heavenly life on the earth. Here's the problem. church. Chapter 4 has a lot of information about the church and how the church is founded with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and so forth. It is very detailed. It is very specific. And we were once really into these things at one point. There are great books written about them, 4, 5, and 6. But here's the problem. You can't live 4, 5, and 6 in your present condition. You can't live unless you have the power and the strength to live. The strength for what? I mean, in this day and age, it's already been referred to, this is a crazy time we're living in. As a believer, you cannot lose heart. It goes back to don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. We need power to live. Without power, we can't possibly face the most serious problems today. I'll give you an example. Without the power just to live, without power, how do you face the problems of today? As an example, abortion is a very serious crime against humanity. It's a crime against God. How do we deal with that? Without strength, without a heavenly life and strength, you cannot face a problem, dealing with it. Otherwise, without that strength, you, as we've seen a number of times, I have to say, it becomes human strength, human effort. And it becomes political, and it gets bogged down. And nothing has affected abortion in this country. It's grown and grown and grown because the Christians have not dealt with it by the strength God can give them. Now, in a daily walk for each one of us, we need daily strength so that we do not lose heart no matter what we face, whether we face conditions of health this world is doing to us, and this crazy virus business. It should not control our lives. We should not be afraid of the virus. We shouldn't be afraid of all of the things. If you walk out in the street, what will come at you? But we need strength to walk. So this is where we are. This is, Christians need the strength in the inner man just to live and live a life in the heavenlies on the earthlies. Well, that's the second rung. The third rung in 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is the result of the strength. It's not just facing problems. It's not just dealing with issues. If you have a purpose in life you want to deal with, it's just not that. It's also this. This is the third rung of the ladder, so you have strength, you are strengthened in the inner man. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What is strength? Is it muscles? You want to be a muscular Christian? Like you saw that was the big line in that movie, Chariots of Fire, we're all so excited about. Chariots of Fire, the guy with the run, made the Academy Awards, the guy who ran. It was a wonderful ministry the guy had. He died in China as a missionary, but he won a gold medal in the Olympics. And they were saying, we need, he said it with an English accent, folks, we need a muscular Christian. Well, no, you don't. We need strong, we need Christians who are strengthened in the inner man. Why? So this verse, this next rung of the ladder, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts, your hearts, through faith. What is strength? One word. Capacity. That's really what strength is. I don't want to mislead you that you can do other things and you go out and be have a ministry somewhere. The fact is, the strength that this prayer is dealing with has to do with capacity. Your capacity for Christ to dwell in your heart. If your heart doesn't have the capacity, he doesn't have room. If your heart is filled with all kinds of other things, there's no room for him. He doesn't want a tiny home, a tiny house to live in. He wants your heart completely. And we need that strength of the work of the Holy Spirit to enlarge our hearts so he can dwell and be Lord over everything in our lives. That is what strength is for. There is faith, and it's in these verses, there is faith, there is love, and unmentioned, but there is hope in the sense you don't lose heart. All three are here. They're all in these nine verses. I'm going through pretty fast here, but I ask a lot of questions about what does this mean? What does that mean? I could be on this, but I found that this prayer is so important that it be answered prayer. It is an example prayer, but we need to pray for each other. We can pray this prayer for ourselves, pray for each other this way, that we all be strengthened in our inner being by the Holy Spirit, so that we don't lose heart and be discouraged. In this day, there's a lot to discourage us, isn't there? And that is the third rung of the ladder. And we climb one more, the fourth one, rung in 17. That you, well, when I read the whole verse, I think I can read that whole verse, 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Well, that's the fifth. I climbed two rungs that time. The fourth one is that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded. You know what it is to be rooted? Is Psalm 1, verse 3 says, and he, or you, will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, whatever you do, you prosper. Psalm 1, verse 3. That is a tree. It's like a tree planted firmly with deep roots and a river going right by it. That river, no matter what happens to the weather, winter, summer, fall, heat, drought, ice, storms, hurricanes, that's not moving that tree. And that tree, even in the worst drought, will have water for it. And that is being rooted. What is being grounded? Like the parable or the picture of the house built on the rock, not sand. So that is the fourth record. I did the fifth rung. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. To know something that surpasses knowledge. Should I read this? Let's see. To know something that surpasses knowledge. the love of Christ. They made some folks made a deal of the height, the width, but I'm not going to do that. I just want us to understand these things. In Luke 18:34, they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, the disciples. When Jesus spoke to them and tried to teach something, they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. They did not comprehend the things that were said. Do you want to comprehend? Be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the love of Christ? Which school you can go to learn that? No number of classes, no degree that will teach you what you need to know except by the Holy Spirit. The love of God, the love of Christ. Is that the top of the ladder yet? No. There's one more. To reach the top, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's the top ladder. That's the top. That's the height. I've been on some pretty tall mountains. This is taller than the tallest mountain. Fullness. In whom dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. That's Colossians 2:19. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory. It's consummation in 1 John 3:2. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the fullness of God. In Christ, the fullness, the Greek word for fullness is pleroma. In Christ, the pleroma of God dwells. So far as Christ dwells in us, the pleroma of God is in us. Mention the love of Christ. That you might comprehend, that you might have the capacity. Every one of us needs to have the capacity to be able to comprehend the incomprehensible, to understand, to be able to hold that which is beyond, without the Holy Spirit, incomprehensible. We cannot know these things without the work of the Holy Spirit in us. This is what Spurgeon, he helped on this one. He does a good job on some things. What is that the love of Christ gives to the objects of it? That means we are the objects of the love of Christ. And what is it that the love of Christ gives to the objects of it? Let me ask another question, he said. What is it which is worth having that it does not give? In other words, if you need it, he'll give it. That's the love of Christ. I'm going to give you a list. This is the heavenly life lived on the earthlies now. Light for our darkness. Eyes for our blindness. Food for our hunger. Cleansing for our defilement. Garments for our nakedness. Healing for our sickness. Strength for our weakness. Joy for our sorrow. Comfort for our distress. Deliverance for our peril. Triumph for our conflict. Are you lacking in any of these? Have you asked for what is lacking? Now, I went through this list. It's a good list. It shows what Christ, the love of Christ, will supply to us, and it kind of also shows the times in us where we need them. Well, I read them, but maybe it would be easier if I read them again and you see them. Put up slide 2. and the sermon that came and light for our darkness. And don't tell me some of these things we have in abundance. Darkness, eyes for our blindness. How many times have we asked, I wish I saw, I wish I could see, I wish I could see the glory of God. I wish I could see what He's doing. Food for our hunger. Cleansing, we have the Lord's table. That's food for our hunger. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Food for our hunger. Cleansing for our defilement. He cleanses us from all our sin. Garments for our nakedness. We've lost that glory. Thank you, Adam and Eve. We have lost that covering of glory that they probably had. And now we need garments for our nakedness. Healing. We don't have to wear skins. You can wear a fur coat maybe, but not in summer. Healing for our sickness. Strength for our weakness. Joy for our sorrow. Comfort for our distress. Deliverance for our peril. And triumph for our conflict. This is what the love of Christ supplies to us. In abundance. In abundance. This is life more abundantly. Right here is life more abundantly. It is the heavenly life lived on the earthlies. And it is very practical. You would call this practical stuff, right? It's not abstract. It's not unreasonable. It's practical. It is every day. Every day here. Maybe you don't suffer every one of these every day, but you're going to suffer one or more of these sometime, soon. The love of Christ has an answer for it. He has a supply for it. He is ready to supply. Just have to ask for it. You have to have the capacity to have Christ living in you in fullness. That's life in the heavenlies on the earthlies. It's we're talking with Ed, and he knows some people who feel that they're seated with Christ in heavenly places. They have no use for anything on the earth. Well, that's not true. He is giving us these things because we live on the earth, and we should not think that we are so superior to anyone because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. But He wants us here. Now, if you experience any of these things, what a tremendous testimony these become. When everybody knows you should be sorrowful, but you're not sorrowful. You have joy in the Holy Spirit because of it. This is practical. This is very practical, and it's life in the heavenlies on the earthlies. The last appearance of the phrase in the heavenlies. All right, well, so this is where we left. We've climbed the ladder on our knees, and in verse 20, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, that's the abundant life, John 10. In fact, if anyone asks you, what does John 10 mean? Point them to here. Point them to these nine verses in Ephesians 3, 13 to 21. To Him, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church. There's glory again. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So this wraps up at least, I will probably think of four or five things I didn't say and I wanted to say and didn't say right or whatever. That the Lord takes care of all of that. If you have the capacity, you just have the capacity, you know, have the Holy Spirit filling you to fullness of God, the fullness of Christ. You have, he gives you the capacity to live life, a heavenly life on the earth, please. And you, well, then we're faced with one more appearance of the phrase in the heavens. And Lord willing, we'll do that the next time, maybe next week, you know. The last appearance of the phrase in the heavenlies gives us our view, standing on the earthlies, living the life in the heavenlies. We must have both. Next week, the next appearance in chapter 6. I do hope that there are those who will pray for this next appearance, because it cannot be lived without the strength of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. We can't even go there. There's no point. Get beaten up pretty badly in this last appearance in 6:10. You're going to get this. This is why this prayer is so essential to us. The first prayer, there are two prayers, Paul's prayers in Ephesians. The first one is in chapter 1, and it deals more with the condition of our knowledge, that you would have an understanding, and that's all well, but this prayer goes way beyond that. This prayer has to do with actual your nature and character and filling you with power. You can't go on without this prayer. That's why these 9 verses were so important to me, and I couldn't stop. I couldn't go on as much as I would have wanted to. I could not go on to the last use of the word, of the phrase in the heavenlies, without dealing with this, without presenting this. And I've enjoyed studying it and have come away with a much greater appreciation for this entire letter and the way this letter is constructed with these 5 references in the heavenlies as a framework, that not one is repeated. And they're all toward a point. They're all toward a purpose. And we need to see that. You need to see that. If you're going to live the practical life that you're going to be faced with in chapter 6, even 4, 5, and 6, can't live those life without the strength of the Holy Spirit working in us, in the inner man. So we'll leave it at that and say, stay tuned. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you thank you for presenting your word to us and the light you give us, and we pray that each heart is enlightened in the Holy Spirit in these matters, and that as we move forward, as we go further into this, Lord, that you would help us to see how we should walk, and how we should sit, and how we should stand. And we will be presented with that, Lord, as we deal. Lord, give us light, give us understanding, give us capacity, we pray and we ask. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.